Turn over to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And then what I'll do is, the Lord willing, after I give you my 30 points, we're gonna have the... I gave about... some of the people are laughing because the other week I had 22 points or something. 23. They're very quick, so don't get disturbed. And I don't see a three-point sermon in the Bible anywhere anyhow. And then we'll have our men come, and maybe we might just have a couple of them give their what the Lord led them about and blessed them in yesterday and the day before. They're in Mexico, and we can cover the others, the Lord willing, on Wednesday night. So we ought to be able to get all of you in. Night, and then as soon as they got in, their relatives were all there. I don't know if they ever got to sleep at all last night. Brother Miller looked shot, really, really bad. Pray for his brother. I don't know if his brother knows the Lord or not. And his father professed faith in the Lord a year or two ago, a couple of years ago. Here, just pray for them. But we can have some of these others give their testimonies, the Lord willing, some tonight. And the Lord willing, and then on Wednesday nights. You come expecting a blessing. I tell you, a mission trip is a blessing when you go to a third world country and they're so poor. It's just good for our people. And I wish the Lord could transplant all of us for about 30 days. 30 days in a third world country. I went down for 16 days when I first came here down into Mexico, went down into even the Yucatan Peninsula. And we saw some people from Belize and Guatemala. We were right on the border, 5 or 6 miles away, and we went down for 16 days, and it was a real encouragement to me, and I thank God for it. I'll tell you, I believe pastors need to go to the mission fields of the world. And we get so used to things the way they are, and we ought to realize how they are for others and how poor they are, and how poor they are spiritually as well. All right, Daniel, you found your place. Chapter 1. I just want to use one scripture verse, especially tonight, but unbelievable number of Bible principles. And I want to speak to you about goals and purposes. Purposes and goals in our life. Now, from the very time I got saved, God caused me to purpose in my heart some things. And all through the years, I have ask the Lord to help me to have some goals. And if we're a people with no goals, we're going to if you shoot for nothing, you will reach nothing, sure enough. If you just go along with the tide, but we need to be against the tide, like those fish that go up at the stream and they keep fighting and fighting, and they finally get up there and they spawn up there. We need to fight the tide, and we need to have some purposes and goals in our life. And that's what I'd like to speak to you about tonight. And you need to start while you're young. And most of our people are young here because it's the military. And so now's the time to do like I did when I was first saved at the age of 16. And honestly, to tell you the truth, I purposed some things in my heart, even in my unsaved condition before I came to know the Lord. I purposed I would not smoke cigarettes, and I'm still not smoking cigarettes. I purposed I would not drink alcohol, and I still don't drink alcohol and never have drunk alcohol. Amen. I purposed not to curse. So we're up to point 33 now. All right. These weren't even in the message. All right. Not to curse or swear or take the name of my Lord in vain. And I don't do that. Amen. Praise his name. I don't do that. No, I praise. Talking about the Lord is in prayer and praise and witnessing. And so purpose in your heart, even before, well, you need to get your children to have some purposes in their heart even before they get saved. That they won't do some things, and then you need to get purpose in their heart. There's some things they will do. We're going to cover those about Bible reading and prayer and everything else. All right. Stand with me as we read the eighth verse only, please, of Daniel 1. Daniel 1, verse number 8. Follow with me and read along with me, and we'll pause at the punctuation wherever we find it. Verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, bless this thy word and this principle that Daniel was a young man when he purposed in his heart. He was just newly taken off the captivity. And he and the three Hebrew children purposed some things in their heart, in their youth. And then they were able to go through the burning fiery furnace later and come out with even the smell of smoke upon them. And then Daniel was able to go into the lion's den as an old man because he was a man of prayer. And he would not bow to the knee of Baal. He would not bow down, nor would he kiss Baal. But he kissed the sun. And how he reigned and ruled and was blessed and was an encouragement to the three Hebrew children and others all through his life and to us today, for we even have his name in this book called Daniel that we're reading from tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. May we have some goals and purposes in our heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know what I did as soon as I, even before I got saved, and after I got saved, I purposed to go to church every time the door was open. Now that's a good basic one. Just what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You say, well, I haven't even got that straight yet. Listen, there's a starting place for all of us. And if you're not careful, you'll get down the road a little bit and you'll have to regroup and you'll have to make some determinations to start what you had slacked off in after you got started. Amen. Just purpose in your heart. Get your children to love the house of God. Don't you let them gripe and complain about having to be in too long of services. And then when they're old like you, they won't be griping and complaining. Amen. You tell them it's a privilege to go to the house of God and hear the preaching of God's men who are called by His grace. Then I purposed to give. As soon as I got saved, I purposed to give to God. Oh, I didn't even care about tithing. I wanted to give everything to God. I wanted to give it all. I thought tithing was in the under the law. I didn't realize it was even before the law under Abraham. But some of you all need to determine you're going to tithe the money God's given you. There was a time in my life I had to determine that I would tithe and that I would tithe regularly. Amen? Systematically. And then to pray. I remember I was newly saved and I was in the Navy soon after I got saved, and I purposed to pray. I purposed to get up at 4:30 in the morning and meet my Lord over at the chapel over there at Great Lakes Naval Hospital. There, probably still there, big hospital where I got my training for the hospital corps in the Navy. And I got up at 4:30 and rolled out of the top bunk, still not married and excited about my salvation. Praise His name. And I rolled out, and I'd roll out before the buzzer even went off on my alarm clock. And I'd be at 4:30. You say, well, how in the world did you get up at 4:30? I went to bed at the right time. It helps a little bit. You know, I determined I would go to bed at least 10:30 if I'm going to be up at 4:30 to meet my Lord. And before I went to bed, I wanted my body to be in shape, because what? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And so I'd get down and do my 60 push-ups. And I'd get and do my 21 chin-ups. And I'd do my 100 sit-ups. And as sweating like a hog, I'd run into the shower and clean off, and I'd go to bed. And I'd sleep sound after that. You say, that's not the right time of the day to do it. I don't know if it was or not. It was good for me. And I'll tell you, my muscles toned up, and I felt like I'd just take this pulpit and just throw it any old place. Amen. I was strong in my body for God. And I'd get up at 4:30, and I'd stay on my knees at the place there at the chapel till 6 o'clock. From 4:30 to 6, I was with my Lord. And many times by noon, I felt empty, and I had to go back to the chapel for prayer, because I felt like I was weakening. I was a young Christian. I didn't know much Bible, but I knew the Lord. I knew the Lord. I hadn't been to Bible college, but I was reading my Bible every day. Oh, that's the next point, I think. Read. I determined when I first got saved, I would read at least a chapter a day, every day of my life, at least a minimum. And I was a very slow reader. At least a chapter. of the Bible every day. You better make some determinations or you'll never be anything. You better set some goals, young man. Amen. The devil will set some goals for you. Amen. He'll set some goals for you. You'll end up in, even though you might even be saved, if you don't set some goals in your life, you'll get tangled up in all kinds of things you'll be ashamed of later. Amen. I determined to pray, read at least the chapter of the day. I remember I got a little red Bible. I've told you about that. But you know what I did? As I was going to high school at the age of 16, and I'd read my little Bible, that little red Bible, and I memorized every verse in that Bible. I determined at a young age I needed to memorize the Word of God, that I'd be strong in the Lord. Amen. And then another thing is, I determined, newly saved, to go soul winning every time the Prospect Avenue Baptist Church in Buffalo, New York. I determined that I would go soul winning every time on Thursday. They seemed to have a spaghetti dinner every Thursday, and I'd go down there and enjoy that and go out with the pastor sometime. I, as a young 17-year-old boy, and I'd go out there serving the Lord on visitation. And I'd go to the hospital, and I just witnessed to everybody. I determined when I first got saved, I was going to talk to everybody about Christ. I was just going to be a witness for my Lord. I was going to speak up for my Lord. And so I determined that. And then I determined to read my Bible through. After Mrs. Feldman told me in the kitchen there, she said, I started witnessing to her, and she said, Herbie was my buddy. And so I was over at Herbie's house and eating lunch there or something. And if we weren't eating at the Harvey house, we were eating at Herbie's house. And Herbie's mother said, I'm a Lutheran. And she said, I've read my Bible through, three or four times. And here she was still unsaved. She said, when you've read it through one time, come back and talk to me. And she embarrassed me. I felt like crawling under the table because I'd been saved for a while and had never read my Bible through. And I determined then I was going to read my Bible through. And I'm still reading my Bible through. But it's a lot easier now than it was then. Amen. Not easier to take time, but it's easier to read it through. And then another thing is to speak up for my Lord, as I said earlier, at every opportunity. Well, cheer up. We're already to point number 9. Amen. All right. The next one is to give out Bible literature. I determined that as a young, when I heard at my soul-winning visitation, I didn't know what gospel tracts was. But I'll tell you, when I went in the Navy, I prayed about my giving, and I prayed, and I said, if I could just send my money back there, and the penny that I gave in my offering, that penny went for a gospel tract to give it back to the missionaries or someone else, and that person heard that, read that Bible tract, and got saved, then I'll get my reward in heaven because I was faithful in my giving of my money to God. And I sent it all back home, friends. You can't show me up, none of you young single soldiers. I'd go with my holes in my shoes because I didn't need any money. The Navy was taking care of me. I didn't even have a wife or kids. What in the world, you single soldiers? You ought to give all your money to God. Amen. Or you just ought to pray about it. Amen. I sent some big checks home, friends. Amen. And when you're giving a lot when you're young, you won't have much trouble when you get old. And you get 58, amen? You'll want to give more and more and more and more. You better just give it all to God, amen? Giving out literature. We went down there yesterday, and we were in the Burger King, and I was figuring up. I took my little calculator out of my pocket. I brought this specially tonight. I was going to leave it at home. I said, no, I'm going to bring it. Amen? And so here I am calculating on yesterday all the number of souls that Brother Alex Cordova won to the Lord. I mean, the tracts that he gave out. And so the first year he gave out 7 tracts a day, 9 years ago. He's been doing this for 9 years now. And so I figured up how many tracts. 7 tracts a day is for 365 days. And then I figured up, he does this every day now for 9 years. You know what the Bible says? Throw your seed upon the water, in essence, and it'll come back to you one day. Amen? Oh, as you sow, you reap. I just heard in my Bible reading about Adonai Bezek, and you know what he did? He chopped all these thumbs off. Wasn't it the toes and the thumbs? I don't know, the thumbs and the toes, and he had all these kings all around him. I don't know how many, a big number of them, and before he died, he had his thumbs cut off. What you sow, you reap, friends. And it's the same thing as what you sow in the seed of the gospel, so you're going to reap. Amen? What you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you sow the seed of the gospel, and it's going to come back to you. So here I am checking this all out, 7, and then he went from 7 to 15 the second year. 15 a day. And then he went to 20, and then 25, and then 30, and 35, and 40, and 45, and 50, and 55, and 60. This year, he's given out 60 tracts a day. 60 tracts a day. You know what? That's probably about 60 more than you give out a day. Amen? Amen? 60 tracts a day. And you know what he told me? He told me about men who got saved through his tracts and are preachers now in the ministry. Glory be to God. I thought to myself, I need to, Preacher Harvey, you need to sow some more seed. Sow some more seed. Get those gospel tracts out. Get them out. Get them out. I've been promoting that ever since I was a young boy, newly saved. So here I got over here this evening, and my wife was going to prayer. By the way, my wife, she purposes to be here at about 5:30, so she's going to get some purpose about that, amen, of getting you ladies to pray for our service. That's something good to purpose about, isn't it? Amen? And so what I did is I got in my car and went down to that Mickey's down there, and I said, I got to give at least 7 tracks out. I can't let Brother Alex do better than me. And I've been at this all these years. And you know what? The Lord may allow me to learn some things from a younger man. That wouldn't hurt me at all, would it? Say, Preacher Harvey, you've already given out thousands and thousands of tracts. Amen. I probably gave 1,000 out yesterday. Or the day before, the 2 days. Amen. We gave 14,000 tracts out. I gave a bunch of tracts out, friends. You say, yeah, well, how do you know you gave that many out? Because I gave 2 or 3 or 4 at a time. I learned that from the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't come and bring one thing to the door. They bring a whole pack of literature to you, amen? And for years now, I've been leaving a lot of tracks at the door. If my body and my temple is going to carry me all the way to someone's door at my age, I'm telling you, I'm going to get a bunch to their door, amen? One lady called me years ago, and I said, she was griping about our track. It had in her track about her casket might be in town to bury her in. I said, well, and I gave her the gospel, and lo and behold, I didn't even know the tract that I'd given to her, or one of our people had given to her, and I found it later, and I preached her the same message on the phone, not even knowing what tract it was. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit can't work. And I said, by the way, you didn't have to read that tract. She says, I read everything that comes to my door. So we better get a lot to her door. Amen? Get a lot to her door. And so I went up here to Mickey's, and I gave about 7 tracts out there. I came back, and I saw these Muslims over here. You know how I feel about them, amen? And they were coming in all their paraphernalia and how they hate Christians. I thought about going up there with a picket sign, but I think a gospel tract could be better. Yes, Brother Harvey, forget your picket sign right now. The gospel will change them. And so I gave these Muslims and their kids on the street there. So I got at least about 10 out today. It didn't take me about 5 or 10 minutes. But if you're going to be systematic about something, you know, somebody, who knows, maybe one of those tracks, one of those little Muslim boys, I know one thing, they could talk English pretty well. And maybe the mother will hate me and despise my literature. But maybe the young boy will read the track and get saved. Cause all kinds of havoc in their family. Amen? Amen! Amen! Anyhow, I figured all those tracks up. You know how many tracks Brother Alex has given out? Now, this is the minimum. Hello? This is the minimum of tracts that Brother Alex has given out. And I'm sure it's many, many thousand more. He's given out over 150,000 tracts in 9 years. Himself, personally. One-on-one. That's a lot of tracts, friends. And to have people in the ministry. And all that, you know, all it took, it didn't take anybody to be real smart, real intelligent, just had to be faithful. Just had to be faithful. Faithful. And here he's a missionary himself. In the Lord's work. Who knows but that he started maybe giving out tracts faithfully before he even became a full-time missionary. I don't know. But I know one thing. We better sow the seed. Sow the seed. Oh, you know what happened to me also when I was just a young fellow about 18 years old in the Navy. And I went to a meeting, and I went in the back there at the Emmanuel Baptist Church at that Serviceman Center. And a man said, why don't you ask God for 100 souls? And I'd never won one soul to Christ. And before I left there, I asked God for 100 souls. You know, these young sailors and soldiers. Wow. Just guide it, Brother John Metcalf. Just guide him in the right way and just say, go. Amen? Just go for it. Our fellows are going out preaching, and our fellows go out soul winning. And some of them, they line up every month or two, and they go out all day Saturday, go soul winning, all day soul winning. I like that from the day I heard about it to the day it was thought about. I liked it, I like it, I like it. If you want to be lazy and sit at home, I still like it. Amen? And I'm going to go with them too, by God's grace. I'm going to go out street preaching with them too. I've preached hundreds of times on the street. We ought to do like Brother Godfrey. We ought to reach every available person at every available time in every available way for the glory of God. Amen? And I'll tell you, Brother Godfrey's Mr. Soul Winner. We've got to get some goals. I prayed that God give me 100 souls, and I had 35 come to Christ there at Great Lakes before I was transferred down to Portsmouth, Virginia. And then, you know what you could purpose in your heart? To at least speak to at least one person a day. Wouldn't that be good? Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." At least one a day. You know what it'll do? It'll encourage you to go get some more. Doesn't it take three to thrive, we've covered? Three to thrive, read your Bible every day, pray every day, and talk to at least one person every day, and you'll be on the victory side. And if you don't, you leave any one of those three out on a regular basis, and you probably will become a weak Christian. You'll still be one, but you won't be strong. You need to get that word out. You need to pray every day. You need to read your Bible every day. Three to thrive. When my dad died, I made up my little song, "Friend of Friends to Me." Jesus is a friend of friends to me. And I wrote in a little piece of paper, I don't even know if I still have it, "My father, as far as I know, though he got saved 2 years before he died, my dad never led one soul to Christ that I know of." And I said, "By the grace of God, I'd like to win 1 million souls to Christ." I'm telling you, don't tell me that's not a good goal. If I never reach it, I say it's a good goal. And I've thought about it. If I die and go to heaven, maybe I'll reach it through those that I have reached. I know one thing. If God put it in my heart, it's able to attain it. Amen. 1 million's not that many. Other people set out to make $1 million. I can set out to win 1 million souls to Christ. Amen. And we have all the multimedia to do it today. Amen. Praise His name. 1 year I had 230-some trust Christ as their Savior. To God be the glory. I was wound up like a corkscrew. I'll tell you, I was wound up like a spring, and God just let me go. Amen. I was witnessing everybody. I was picking up hitchhikers to win them to Christ. You get excited enough. That was in a day when it was safe to hitchhike now. A little bit safe, anyhow. Amen. Boy, you'll venture out a lot of things in your own safety to try to reach some soul for Christ. You won't worry about yourself so much. You worry about the ones you're trying to reach with the gospel. Amen? And then I thought about the number of songs. I wrote some songs. You know, we ought to have some goals about that. What about family devotions? When I first heard about family devotions, I determined with the help of God, I'm going to have family devotions every day of my life. That preacher, whoever in the world, I don't even know who it was, Pastor Eborn or somebody, said you ought to have family devotions every day. And you know what I said? I said, I think I ought to have family devotions every day. My mom and daddy never prayed and read the Bible with me, but I'm going to have it for my children. No wonder the first time I had a date with my wife and I went out by the water in that big international bus, whatever that world that thing was, and I pulled up out there and we looked over the little river there. Amen. We were unchaperoned, but I didn't know any better. Amen. The Lord is gracious. And I said, "Let's have a word of prayer." That was the first date she'd ever been on. I think that a boy asked her to pray the first time I was there. Amen. I'll tell you, start your time out with prayer, and God will take care of you. I think the second thing out of my mouth was, if you're just looking for a boyfriend, I'm not interested. I've had a bunch of girlfriends, and I'm looking for me for a wife. If you're not interested, I'm not. You say, "Were you that bold?" I was too bold. Amen. I just need a little bit of common sense and a little bit of humility, I guess. But I knew I'd asked God for a wife, and I needed me a wife. I was lonely, friends. Amen. And the Lord was looking down at me, and He took care of my needs. Family devotions. And the other, a couple of years ago, I heard that Matthew Henry had family devotions in the morning and the evening. And so for the last couple of years, we tried to have our devotions in the morning and evening. So before we came to church tonight, we got together, and it wasn't lengthy at all. And by the way, we miss once in a while, but don't miss too many times. Amen. Then you'll feel bad about missing. And so we took a couple minutes and we read from Nehemiah. Just a couple verses, and then we each prayed. We've been doing this for years, but not the twice a day, morning and evening. We've tried that recently. Amen. Set some goals in your life. It won't hurt you. It's goals for Christ. It's goals for your spiritual life. You've got to feed your soul. We're feeding our body too much. Some of you ought to set some goals about not eating so much. Amen. I'm preaching to myself now. Amen. Boy, the Lord reminds me of that verse is in the Bible. He that's given to appetite, let him put the knife to his throat. Huh? Amen. Some of you young fellas, even you soldiers, maybe ought not to eat quite so much. You'll end up like me someday. Or someone even bigger. I want you to know it's a poor testimony when they say it's the fat man. They don't say that about me. They always say, and I thank Brother Beach about that. He said, he's got a little heavy. I like that. Amen. Kind of stout, a little heavy. But I'll tell you, if they say he's the fellow that's 300 pounds. Amen. He's the one that's 300, 400, 500 pounds. I want you to know it's a disgrace. I say it's a disgrace. Amen. Well, I don't know why I got on that, but we better guard ourselves. All right. Devotions. All right. Ladies' Bible study. I was thinking of that. We need to set some goals. My wife, ladies' Bible study. All right, we're to number 18 now. We're moving, aren't we? All right. Our church ministries. When we came here, Pastor Hammonds and I sat down together, and I said, this is what I'd like to see here at the church. He was used to having these briefings with these generals, and I was far from that, but I was God's man. Amen? And he said, what do you want to see happen around here, Brother Harvey, preacher? Listen, you need to set some goals. Amen? I said, well, I'd like to see a church of about 1,000. I think I told you that, Brother Hammonds. If I didn't, I'll reiterate it. Amen. I'd like to see a church of about 1,000. I tell you, if Grace Christian can have that, we could have it too. Amen. And these other churches and Memorial, which has changed their name, is almost the Fellowship of Joy now. Well, we are the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And we're thankful for it too. We're not going to take the name Baptist off our church name either. Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. And when the Baptists turn away from the Bible, I'll go to a different name. But Baptist doctrine is good doctrine, friends. And it identifies ourselves. Most Baptist churches are not charismatic. Amen? Come on now. And I'm glad I'm not. Oh, another goal was, I don't know if we brought it up then, but I'd like to have a camp, if God would allow us to have a camp. I got saved at camp. The young man who came here, Seth Porter, this morning, sat right over there, a young single soldier. He got saved at camp at about 13 years old, he said. If he's really saved, he made his profession of faith in the Lord then. Camp. Set some goals in your life. And then I think we had in mind to have a Christian day school. And when we started our Christian day school, I said we need to have an ongoing Christian day school. We don't need to have it just for our children. And when our children are gone, let it die like so many other churches have. A lot of pastors do it for their own kids. I think that's worthwhile. I think that's worthwhile, but I think it's worthwhile. If something's worthwhile, have it and keep it gone for good. Then I told Pastor Hammonds, by the grace of God, it'd be good to have a Bible college here, Bible Institute, Bible college. We had some goals, and now we've set goals for a radio ministry. A radio ministry. And now it looks like, who knows, but today, the young men up here who are spending a lot of time with this, and I thank God for our men, I don't know much about it, but if they do, may they put their expertise to work. And we may, this, from this morning on, they say we may be on the world net. Praise the Lord. I said, glory to God. When we moved into this building almost 3 years ago, we asked the Lord to multiply our ministries. And I believe he's doing it. Amen. Multiply our ministries. By the way, another goal was that we would have a serviceman's ministry. Single soldier's ministry. We have that. And God will give us our building in his own good time for his own glory. And then, you know, I thought another goal we ought to have. Wouldn't it be great if God, if we want a church that'll seat 1,000 people, house 1,000 people? I don't know if 1,000 people ever come and listen to me preach. Amen. But I'd like to be like that one preacher says, all you have to do is set yourself on fire and they'll come and see you burn. Amen. They'll come to the fire. Amen. say, how in the world are you going to be excited at 60 years old? I think I'm as excited as I was when I first got saved about serving and preaching God. I love it. Amen. It's my life, my being. And if I put all my heart into it, it'll be better than these young fellas. Amen. Just get out and preach. And if we're going to have 1,000, then we ought to have 100 missionaries at least, shouldn't we? 100, 200, 300 missionaries. Some of these churches, I think they even have up to 500 missionaries. What a blessing that would be. Missions. And then God's given us extras. We have a choir. We have a beautiful choir. We have a choir that is of a quality with all this junky music around, for sure. Amen. When we compare them to this junk that they're putting out, amen, we are top quality. I told our fellows this morning, I said, fellas, you getting all this congregational singing. They ought to get our congregational singing too. There's so much junky music out here in these churches, compromising music, which are nothing but shows. We're not here to entertain people. We're here to praise the Lord and glorify Christ and to edify the people and sing praises to God. And I said, fellas, we want all that music. We want it on our tapes. We want it going out over the internet. We want our choir numbers and our men singing and all these things. We want this going on. This is quality music. There's enough junk in this world. We're to combat it. We ought to get twice as much out of all their junk they're putting out. Amen. We make up a few songs. Jason, praise God. You make up the music, son. And I like Power Through Prayer. I was singing that today, singing it down in Mexico. I had the words, but he had the music, and it's good. I like it. I'm humming it and singing it. And I didn't have anything to do with the music he gave me. The Lord gave him that. I like it, I'm telling you. Amen. All I got was the words. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing. Get the Word of God. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ought to fill this country with good music. Combat this junk that our teenagers are getting wrapped up in. You better find out what your teenagers are listening to. You parents who have teenage boys and girls, you better find out. You better jerk that out of their ear and find out what they're listening to. Even the commercials on TV and the radio is getting all full of filth. Amen. You can't listen to Rush Limbaugh or what's that other woman down there, Dr. Laura, and all this cursing. I'm sick of their cursing mouths. You say, well, they're conservative. Yes, but they're not Christian. I may agree. I agree with the Pope about the fact of birth control. Does that make them right? They don't believe in abortion either, the Catholics. But I don't have anything to do. I will not fellowship with unbelievers. I believe she's the whore church of the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation 2. And I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You better find out what your children are listening to, what music they're listening to. Boy, your children, I'll tell you what, they'll go the same way their music's going. If they have loose and rock music and contemporary Christian music, and they'll come, you know what, they're getting to the place when they come into our church, the average young man, young lady, and our music is so high and holy that they can't take it. They're so used to junky music, all they want to do is bounce around, and they have there's no edification in it. It's all flesh. All flesh, no spirit. They can't even appreciate good music. I know probably most of them aren't even saved. We don't know the heart, do we? But I'll tell you what, if you give a person the wrong thing long enough, and pretty soon they'll think the wrong thing's the right thing. And then I thought about, well, we have an extra, we have a bus ministry, and then we have a printing ministry. We're to 29 now. Man, are we moving? We only have one left. Well, that was a quick message, wasn't it? 30 points. Praise the Lord. All right, 29 points, a printing ministry. We need a printing ministry. I think about that Tabernacle Baptist Church in Lubbock. I think it's Lubbock, Texas, and how E.L. Bynum put out so many good things when I was a younger man. And I thank the Lord for what David Cloud, he's going to be here in a few days, puts out the old Timothy paper. David Cloud's coming to our church on Sunday in March. And we need to have these good men. And Brother Williams, Ron Williams, puts out all this literature, promotes holy living. Amen? May God help us. May God help us to have some goals in our life. What are your goals? friends. What are your goals in your life? Do you have any? Do you have any goals? You need to ask God to help you to have some goals in your life. Amen? Amen. We'll have an invitation, then we'll have the guys right after that. Don't leave us, please. We're going to have a couple testimonies, but we'll give the invitation right now, and then we'll kick out and kick back in. Amen? And we'll have a couple testimonies. We promise you we won't keep you all night. All right? Let's bow our heads for prayers. We have the invitation at this time. Father, speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, we need a purpose in our heart that we would not defile ourselves. That's the negative. And then, Lord, we need a purpose in our heart that we'd set some goals, have some purposes in our life for the days ahead. Oh, that we'd win souls. Dear Lord, if we would give out literature like Brother Alex does, then maybe we'd be able to say, I have this preacher boy who read my track, and now he's in the, and went through Bible college, and now he's in the ministry, has his own church. Oh, God, help us to be faithful in whatever our hand findeth to do it. Do it with thy might, the Bible says. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, is there one here? You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Is there one? Just raise your hand right now. Is there one? I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I know this message was mainly to the saved, but I wonder if there's one here who say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Is there one? Is there one? Then is there one here and you say, I am saved, but I sure need to set some goals in my life in 2001. Amen. I need to set some goals in my life. Pray for me. Pray for me. Oh, I do, friends. I do. Many, many, many hands all over the auditorium. Won't you ask God? Maybe He'd put 100 souls on your heart. Maybe He'd put some other goals in your life about Bible reading, prayer, about family devotions, the time in prayer. Our young men need to learn to take, if they're going to go into the ministry, they need to learn to pray 1 hour a day. I'm serious. It's sweet. It's not sweet minute of prayer. It's sweet hour of prayer. Oh, we need to pray. And we need to read the Bible and go soul winning. And do what the Lord would have us to do. Any others before we pray? The Lord's speaking to me too. Include me in that prayer. Yes, yes. Father, help us, we pray. Give us victory. May we set some goals. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. 278. The altar's open. Come and pray. 278. Fanny Crosby's song. She had some goals in her life. She was blind, but didn't she write some beautiful songs? Jesus is tenderly calling today. Calling. Calling today. Yes, maybe the Lord leads you to be a member of the church or get baptized or give out so many tracts a day or win a certain number of souls to Christ today. Have time in prayer and Bible study, witnessing. Yes, Jesus is calling, weary to rest, calling today. Calling today. Calling today, friends. Calling today. Jesus is calling. Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to Him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling. Is tenderly calling. The fourth is the last. Jesus is pleading. Listen to His voice. Listen to Him. Calling today. Calling today. Calling today. Yes, Jesus is calling. just play another couple stanzas, but that's good. You can be seated. God bless you. You can be seated. Appreciate your attendance tonight. Amen. This morning. Aren't you glad we have a Sunday night service? Praise God. Yes, that's another thing. Lord willing, we'll have a men's meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. 6:30, men's meeting, and then tomorrow at the same time, any ladies that want to go, they're going to try to go over to the nursing home, the ladies, and give out literature and witness to the ladies over at the nursing home that they went to last Monday night. So if any of you'd like to go, you ladies, while your husbands are here, if that would work out for you, then take part in that. And pray for Brandon and Patty. They've been sick today, and some others, a number in the family have been sick. And you just pray for these different ones who are not able to be here. Linda, she's sick. We went down on a trip down to Mexico and the kids, and so the Lord knows all about that. Sarah had a little episode, but she weathered the storm, came out of it pretty good. She came out of a tailspin, and she's back on course and was able to go with us and thank the Lord for others. It was a great trip. Amen. So we want to take a little time, just have a couple as the Lord leads us. Just tell about their trip. And please keep it brief, fellas. Amen. These young fellas, some are called to preach, some are not, but whatever the Lord leads, amen. If they get too long-winded, the old man will come up and sweetly put my arm around them and say, and I'll finish their sermon for them. Amen. Praise the Lord for His blessing. What a good trip it was. How many of you ever been to Mexico? I'd like to see your hand. How many have ever been to Mexico? Well, good number. Good number here. So some of you, this ought to mean something to you. And if you haven't, it'll mean something to you. Maybe you can go the next time. And there's a real need down there. And I love to go. I've gone 10 or 15 times now, and I thank God for every chance I get to go. Amen. All right. Let's see. Who in the world should we have come? Amen. Well, we'll have Nathan come first. All right, Nathan, you just come and give a testimony, please.
Well, I praise the Lord for him, for God giving me the opportunity to go to Mexico. This is my first time going over to Mexico, and I thank God that it was a blessing to go there. You know, there is a mission field out there to see the living conditions and the economic finances that they have. You know, the financial problems that they're having. It's just a blessing to see that we have it so good here in America. And we went to one church there, and it was a small church. It was about the size of that shed out there, the tool shed out there. And I was just humbled that God can put His hand on even the smallest churches, the smallest groups, and do greater works than He could do with some of these larger churches. God has no boundaries. He can do works with anybody. And going to seeing the faces on those little kids that wanted to hear that wanted the gospel, that wanted those gospel tracts. We had a gospel tract fly out one of the windows, and the kids were just running for it. We were handing out candy, but they didn't even want the candy. They just wanted the word of God. And they just wanted the gospel, and it was a blessing to see their face. And we'd go up there and we'd say, and we'd tell them that Jesus loves them, and the smile would just go on their face. And it was a blessing to see that. And the pastors, I have a great respect for Alex Cordova, Brother Alex. He's a blessing to me. I pray that I can have a fire like he had to just go out and win souls. And there's a lot I've got to be thankful for. And it's humbling. That's my testimony.
Appreciate it.
All right. I'm glad Nathan could come. And Nathan, how long you been saved now? Really settled it? About 3 months. Amen. Thank the Lord. And the Lord got him settled in and saved here. Amen. Isn't that good? God saves us and then directs our lives. We praise God for His work in our life. Amen. We're glad these young men could go. We just got there. Brother Alex took us over to this pastor's house. Brother David, he's Spanish. I can't tell his last name, but he's American born.
And Brother David went over to his house. Brother Alex took me over there to meet, caused me to meet him. And he came out of the house. He said, please. He said, I don't know if my wife will come out of the house. He said, we just sold our 94 car. This is on the American side now, okay? He went over to Mexico with us, but he was going that day. And he said, you see that little property across the street? He said, we got to buy it. We need $11,000 to buy that property. We've got to have some parking around our church here in, what was that? That wasn't Mission, was it? No, it was Far, right there down by the border. His grandparents, his wife's and his own grandparents were both Mexican, but he was born in America. And he has a church there, and he supports some of those other men, and he supports Brother Alex, too. And a real dear brother. And he said, my wife's in tears right now because we just sold our car so we get enough money to buy the property. I said, we never quit sacrificing, do we? He's about 62 years old. And I said, I'll weep with your wife. Amen. I mean, why don't you just go sell your car so you can buy some church property so you can have some parking for your church? They sold the van, and they drove the van away, one of their vans. They have two other vans. They pick up people for church. They have about 100 every Sunday, he said, in a nice little church building there, but they needed some church property. And he said he had to get the money, so he got $2,500 out of his 94 automobile. But, I mean, how would you like to be the wife and not have your car sold by your husband? You better love God and love your husband, wives. You're going to be married to a preacher. Amen. He might sell your car. You know what I heard? I heard she said, are you going to sell me too? Oh, bless his heart. And then she finally came out of the house and met my wife. And then we took some pictures and everything. But I'll tell you what, it's never time to quit sacrificing, is it, for the Lord? And so I told him I'd ask you all to pray that God would help him. And they were just trying to get a down payment on that $11,000. But he said, you know what he said? One of the men of his church said, what we can do is we can quit giving our missions for 14 months. And then we'll have the property over there. And he said, we're not doing that, sir. And he might have been a good man in the church and had the right, you know what I'm talking about. He just wanted to get that property over there for parking for the church people there. And the brother said, no, I'll just sell my car. We'll walk for a while or use the van. Amen. I'll tell you what, somebody better sacrifice. We can't stop missions. He said, no, he's the one who supports 14 missionaries, I think. No, can't take that missions money. And he went over there and has bad knees, and we got down right on our knees there with one lady there. Her name was Annabelle, and 16-year-old right at the door there of their little shack. And we got on our knees there, and she prayed and received the Lord into her heart there after he'd witnessed to her. And boy, he was not an easy guy on witnessing. He'd tell him about hellfire and tell him about repenting. And she got down on her knees and asked the Lord to come into her heart and into her life. And then we went over to the little store there, and we got a couple frescos, a couple of drinks, Coke and whatever, Coca, and he led the man there to Christ. He was talking to him this time, and here he's got bad knees, and he said, I can't quit praying just because my knees are like that. He said, I'm gonna get down on my knees. And he said, I just keep on. He said, they're gonna try to put all kinds of plastic in my knees, I guess. His knees are all worn out. Amen. 62 years old, and pray for him. And be willing to sacrifice like he did. Went out all day with us, and we went door to door. And he witnessed to a lot of people. You know what I liked about him? He warned people. Another thing, he didn't spend too much time with anybody either. If people are not interested, go on and find somebody who is interested. If someone doesn't want to go to heaven, go find someone who does want to go. Amen? I liked his attitude. I liked the way he did things. And he was very sincere. But, it was a blessing to me. Just a blessing. Encouragement. Saw two profess faith in the Lord. Some others had some souls saved there as well. Amen. All right. Brother Steve, you want to come? Praise his name.
Well, I have to thank God for the grace that he gave me to go down there. I almost didn't go because of the army. And I didn't get, we was wanting to leave at 3. I didn't get off of work and get my paperwork until 3:30, and trying to get a ride and everything else. I was just all sorts of frustrated and just about gave up on it, but the Lord said, don't give up on it, just go. I went and got the best blessing I have ever gotten in my life. You know, us soldiers, we joke around with each other about kidding about a humble pie, and it's one thing to joke about it, but when the Lord feeds it to you, it's something else. You know, we was down there in Mexico, and I think it was Friday morning, or Saturday morning, I was doing some figuring. And I, as a specialist, I make about $1,400 a week or a month. The preacher down there, the one church that we went to, made like $260 or $300 a month. That's what him and his family lived off of. In a month, I make four times, better than four times, than what that preacher of the gospel makes. Now, I figured up the hourly wage of a soldier. We work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As a specialist, I make $1.94 an hour. The average, a good wage down there is 90 cents an hour. There's people work down there for $2 a day. We make more in like 2 days' time, Brother Grab was telling us, than the average person makes down there in a month. And we have enough gall to complain about what we have. You know, yes, NTC is a pain. Everybody that's been there can say that NTC is no fun. And Korea is no fun. I've never, by God's grace, I've never been there. I've heard about it. You know, Lord might send me there just to keep me humble again. But even over there, being that we have Christ, it's not that bad. You know, with Christ, you know, Christ is everything. You know, he can just keep us, keep our spirits high, and keep us looking at him, and keep, you know, going to, I used to watch TV and watch a lot of factual stuff about these different countries. You know, seeing a third world country on TV is nothing like being there. You know, seeing, you know, as Nathan said, that tool shed out there is better than what most of those people live in. You know, it's about the same size. At least that has a floor, and it's not drafty. Most of those houses, I kid you not, I seen one house. It was of one of the preachers, where the walls met the ceiling. You know, over there, for most of those people, having a non-dirt floor is a blessing. You know, the one preacher's house had all the houses there, most of them, they don't have doors, and if they do, they're all rickety. Most of them, the curtains, you know, are bed linen, the sheets, the doors are sheets. You know, it's you know, we have it so well over here. You know, and the Lord blessed me with being able to see three souls led to Christ. I didn't lead them to Christ. A couple of the guys that were down there, so a couple of the preachers, me, David, Jason, Brother Grab, went with them. You know, we all felt pretty useless over there, but I know we all were praying about it, but we got to see three souls saved. You know, and it's you know, I just thank God for letting us see that, and giving, you know, the Lord's really given me a burden for, you know, has broken my heart. You know, he had the tenderizer on, and he had it going pretty good, because I know I come back a lot more tender, you know, and it's an answer to prayer. You know, as many people here, I had a cold heart, you know, coming out of the world, and you know, the Lord's been working on me slowly but surely, but you know, he's tenderizing it, and I just keep praying for a more tender heart. And I just thank God for all that he does. And as in closing, pray for my sister. She will be down in 2 days. She will be down here Tuesday night. She will be here for 2 months, 2.5 months or so. She got saved here. She's gotten baptized here. And she's going to the liberal church back home that's trying to undo everything that this church and the Bullhorns and I have tried teaching her. But hopefully the Lord's grace is sufficient to get her on these issues. I know the Lord, not everything can be touched on while she's down here, but I just hope that she gets really grounded and can take some things home with her. And I just pray for her, and I ask y'all for pray for her as she comes down. Thank you.
Hey, pray for Mary. Amen. She got saved here and got baptized here, so maybe she's coming down to find her a husband here or something. Who knows? Amen. All good things in her life seem to happen here. Amen. God's able to send some young man in here, amen, some single soldier, and get him saved that day and link them both up, and maybe they'll stay here for good forever. Amen. We could use some workers around here. But the Lord is in the business of changing lives. Amen. One day you were young like that. How old is she, anyhow? She's 19. One day you were. So she was saved at 18? And she was 18. And so you pray for her. She needs a lot of help. And boy, the Bullhorns, they pour it on, man. She's staying with them, I guess. They know how to work with people, especially girls, don't they? Wow. Amen. They're running a boarding house over there, Bullhorn Boarding House. And trying to get these young people straight for God. To God be the glory. Amen. I don't think they ask them how to dress. They just tell them over there. Amen. You pray for them. And pray that Mary go back a much more rich in the things of the Lord. And who knows, maybe God would even allow her to come down and stay for good. And as I say, God's grace is sufficient. I'll tell you what, if we don't get some of these people out of their surroundings into a good Christian church, good Bible church, and those things, amen, there's not much hope for them. Amen. Any others that want to give a testimony, or do we want to save it for Wednesday night? Want to come now, Brother Scott, or for Wednesday night? We'll give you more time, whatever. Come now, go right ahead, Brother. Maybe give you time on Wednesday, too, if the Lord leads. All right? Praise the Lord.
Well, I don't know what I can cover that Stephen already covered. Was humbling. Never been to a third world country before, really, and to go down and really do witness to anybody. I've been to Saudi Arabia, but they're rich compared to these people. At least in Saudi Arabia, you can't eat the food. You eat the food there, you're going to get real sick if you eat your food. But it was amazing. The kids running around, they didn't seem to have a care in the world, and our kids aren't thankful for what they have. I was thinking about it today. I don't think in 6 years that we've had kids, Seth on down, I don't think we've already spent, I don't think we've spent $100. I think it's been a less than that on toys that we've bought them. Everything else has been given to them. And thankful for that. Kids don't need new toys and sophisticated toys. They just need a good imagination and to be away from the TV, and they'll be just fine. But down there, they didn't have that. They didn't have anything. Just each other to run around with, and maybe a can or something, maybe to kick or something. We saw some with a ball, kicking a ball around. But they are very content people. Talking to Miss Harvey was talking and stopping at the little shacks and giving them tracks, and would give the kids candy, and would give the ladies that would come out candy or a box of candy, or would give them some clothes for the kids or something. And they're just a content people, and they don't have anything. I read a sermon about a month ago, maybe not quite that long ago, but maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and pastor preaches on one of the greatest sins in America is pride. Well, the sin that goes with it, it's ingratitude. And we're an ungrateful nation. We have all the food we could ever want to eat. And even in times, I know some of you may be like me, you have to stretch that dollar, make it go as far as it can. And you may have to eat beans and rice, but, you know, beans and rice, that's a gourmet meal compared to what they have over there. One egg over there, was one egg, cost 75 cents American. Because that's a luxury item. But 75 cents, 89 cents, we can go to Walmart, we can get a dozen. You know, we have it so good in this country. And Brother Steve mentioned there a couple of times when we were in Mexico that the Lord's way of telling him he don't know enough Spanish. And I want to go back, Brother Harvey, and I want to learn some Spanish. I want to lead some of them to Christ in their language instead of just handing them a tract. Yeah, it's refreshing. You go down there and you just hand, you can't get tracts in your hand fast enough to give them to these people. So many people, and they want them. Friday, no one refused a tract. Now, we got to Reynosa. Most people are a little bit more Americanized, and you'd have some people refuse a tract, but not very many. Buses would stop. They say you have a piece of paper in your hand, it would stop to get that tract. And everybody's hands out the windows. They wanted something to read. They wanted those tracts. And it was just amazing. The only place that we got run out of was the Catholic Church. We all went. Billy Alex says, "Oh, the Catholic Church, go in there, hand them out, get everybody." Me and Alex and just about everybody went in there, and everyone in that Catholic Church, they got a gospel tract before we got kicked out. They posted a guard at the door, and that let us back in. And I couldn't even get back in to use restroom. I told him, "I just want to use restroom." And no, not going back in. Won't let me in. But Alex was putting them in cracks in the wall. And he's putting them in the money box things where the Catholics put their tithe. He'd fold them up. He'd slip them in there. He's going to get them the gospel one way or another. He said, I saw him do it, so I started doing it. He goes, "Yeah, that's right, brother. Everywhere you can put up, stick a track. If every little nook and cranny he could find a track in that church, he'd stick it." And we made sure everybody had a track before we left. They kicked us out. But it was amazing. It was amazing. You know, we just need to be thankful for what we have here in the United States. And I done told the soldiers, and my wife says she's going to do the same thing to me. I hear them complaining. I'm going to tell them, just shut up. And Brother Joe already got me once today. Thank you, Brother Joe. You already got me. What was that you said? You're going to tell the soldiers, just shut up? I said, oh, yeah. So, you know, don't need to complain about what we got. We got it too good in this country. I heard preacher preach one time that maybe a good depression would do us good. Do without some things. Make us humble. You know, that's our problem. We're not humble enough in this country. So, thank you.
Right. By the way, we can hear from the ladies as well. Amen. Why don't we, let's see. Jason, why don't you come quickly? Okay. And then, Ron, did you want to give yours now? Quickly? Okay, well, you'll be the last one then, okay? We'll get David. Do you have something ready, David, too? For a minute? Go ahead. Whatever. Okay, let's go quickly. Okay.
Great. That sounds like it's repeating again. Everybody's saying the same thing, but thing you learn down there is to be thankful for what you have. They don't have anything compared to us. We have it so good here in America. And we should be thankful for not only the material things we have, our nice houses, the cars we have, but for our spiritual heritage here in America, how our country was founded on the Bible and on the principles of the Bible. And that country was founded on the false religion of Catholicism. And so all those people are down there blinded by that. And Satan has his way everywhere in the world. He blinds the people. And that's how they are down there. They're blinded by the false religion of Catholicism. Every city down there has the big square in the middle. And in that square they have the Catholic Church. Every one of them. And we should be thankful for what we have. And the people down there are so receptive to the gospel. Up here, you know, in America where we have everything. You know, you say we're from Tabernacle, poof, yeah. There goes the door in their face. Down there, they want to hear the gospel, and they want the gospel. And we were witnessing with the two men that Steve had mentioned with, and they didn't know English, but I could kind of understand what they're saying to one lady they were witnessing to, and he gave her the whole Romans Road. And I was just amazed that the gospel is the same all over the world. It's the same message, how Christ died for us, he rose again, and that we have to realize we're sinners and to be saved. He gave them the Romans Road and told her that she was a sinner. She had to realize that. and that we're all sinners, and that God gave a gift from heaven, which was Jesus Christ, and died on the cross for us. And that was really amazing to me, how the gospel of Jesus is the same for all languages and all cultures and all people. And another thing that I noticed was Mr. Cordova. He did not pass up one person without a tract. He gave a tract to every person he met. And that is really humbling for us, because we go to a store and, oh, well, you know, we kind of judge the people from what they look like. Oh, they won't take it from us. But we should give one to everyone we meet, because their blood will be on our hands. We have to learn that. And I'm just thankful that we have all the material goods we have, but most of all, we have the gospel of Christ here in America, and that we are saved. So, that's all.
David?
Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I'd just like to say that I really enjoyed it down there. We had plenty of fun, but most of all, I believe we've learned a lesson on how thankful and content we should be for what we have. While we were planning to go to this Mexico trip, you know, I had in my mind, you know, what would be down there. You know, it'd probably be shacks and stuff with people in there, and, you know, old gripey people sitting on the side of the road, kids, you know, running around, you know, not doing much, you know, yo boys and stuff, you know, baggy pants. And when we went down there, I was really surprised at how content they were down there. The kids out there, they're just playing around and stuff. And I have these suits and stuff, and they had their clothes, and they're just kind of messed up. And sometimes, you know, I find myself complaining, you know, I might have a rip in my pants or something, and, you know, we might throw the pants away or something and buy new ones. And they're just content with what they have. And I was really surprised, and found myself, after we came from the Mexico trip, every time I started complaining or something, all of a sudden guilt would hit me, you know, and I'd just kind of, you know, picture these Mexican people and what they would like. So, on the way home, we stopped by Golden Corral, and so I got my plate, and I went up there to get some food. You know, I put some mashed potatoes with gravy, I got some corn, chicken, and some other stuff. And I sat down and I ate all my corn. I usually do that first. I ate all of that first. And then I was about to prepare to eat my chicken. And I stuck, you know, a piece of chicken in my mouth, and it was really oily and everything. And, you know, I knew it would get me sick if I kept eating some more chicken. So I said, okay, fine, this is what I'll do. I'll eat the rest of my food. I'll cut up this chicken, kind of spread, kind of, you know, put it around in the plate, you know, get the bones showing a little so it makes it look like I ate them, and I'm just going to go over and throw it away. And right away, all of a sudden, I could picture all these Mexican people and stuff, and how they would really love to have something like that, a chicken or something. So I stopped and I said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat this chicken. So I ate all the chicken, I ate all my other food, and that's the only serving I had, because it did get me a little sick, and I did get a dessert plate after that. But the first time I went up to Golden Corral, I had three plates of food and dessert. So this time I only had one and dessert. So it was a real blessing for those that didn't go. I hope that you... that you plan to go next time. It'd really be a blessing, and it was just a real blessing to me, and tried my best to be content with what I have.
Well, I'm thankful for the hunger for the Word of God. People would stop to get a tract and things like that. I think it's partially a hunger for the Word of God, and partially just a hunger for something to read. They knew how to read, but they didn't have any books. They didn't have anything to read. So just you give them a gospel tract, and it's like, hey, something new to read, you know. So my wife saw something, and she's not here because she's staying with Jonathan, who's sick, and she's getting pretty well. But she saw the kids, you know, they mentioned they were so content. And so the one kid had a gospel tract, but he liked this other kid's better. So he traded him. The other kid, I don't care. I'll trade you. I'm just glad to still have something, you know. But boy, you have the toys to try and get kids to swap toys. Boy, forget it. You know, I like this one, man. You're not getting it, you know. Oh, and people mentioned the kids playing with a ball. Hey, every ball I saw was flat. They didn't have a pump. And if they had a pump, they probably didn't have a needle, you know. So, you know, just contentment. They're out there playing soccer with the flat soccer ball, but they were still having a great time. And, you know, playing with a broomstick. Two kids we saw playing with a broomstick. That's all they had, you know. They take the broomstick out of the broom, and then they screw it back in and stuff, you know. Just playing with that. And, man, the guys out there sweeping the highway, you know, right with cars driving 50 miles an hour beside them. They're right on the edge of the road, two feet or less from traffic out there sweeping all the dust, because there's so much dust. Most of the roads are dirt and stuff. So that's their job, making their 90 cents an hour. They're out there sweeping the road, you know, or painting the bridge while people are driving underneath the bridge. They're up there laying on the bridge, reaching down, painting the bridge, you know. And that's their job. And we have, you know, all these good jobs. Oh, we got to close the traffic down and stuff. And they're out there risking their lives to paint bridge. So it was pretty interesting, you know. And the hunger for the Word of God, and just so many people, they'd stop, turn around, come back and get a track if you miss them. You know, not everybody, but some did. So I was real thankful. Three professions of faith in an hour and a half. You'll have a hard time doing that in America. That was door to door. And I did meet several, and they said, hey, I'm saved. Or these two guys, they knew a little bit of English. We're saved. And, you know, and Steve and I went over and tried to talk to this old man. And I don't know if he couldn't understand enough, but I showed him some verses and stuff like that, and he tried to tell me he was saved. I don't really know if he was. I spoke Spanish so poorly that, you know, I wouldn't really know what he understood or what I showed him, but maybe he was saved too. But he still took the gospel track. Maybe he'll read it or give it to somebody else, whatever.
And we'll have some others, Lord willing, on Wednesday night who are maybe not able to be here because of sickness and so forth. I noticed one thing. On the way over and on the way back, we walked over the bridge there in Reynosa, main bridge there. It's not very long. And as we walked over the bridge and as we came back, I noticed that they had the truck down there with the Border Patrol. It amazed me. And what side they were on. They were on our side. Didn't have any Border Patrol on their side. We're not dying to get into Mexico, but they're dying to get into America. I'll tell you why we're rich in America. God made us rich. And there God made them poor. Amen? Pope never helped anybody. The Roman Catholic Church. You look at every strong, extremely strong Roman Catholic country. Extremely strong. And they're full of poverty. You even look at Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is Protestant and it's very productive. Look at Southern Ireland, which is very strong Roman Catholic. They don't produce hardly anything. Amen. Our God is a God of glory and a God of wealth and strength and power and provision. You know what we got from all these is we ought to be thankful. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I went down for 16 days about 10 years ago into Mexico, I wanted some ice cream. And I didn't care what flavor it was. And I couldn't even find it in the motels there, good, nice motels and hotels down there. Couldn't find any ice cream. I came back and my kids were griping about which flavor they had. I said, you better thank God you have any. I came back with a thankful spirit. Amen. Thankful for the provision of God. How blessed we are in America. Amen. Well, I appreciate all these testimonies. And as I said, we may have a couple more on Wednesday night. But may God help us to be a thankful people. Amen. Do we have a song on thanks? Brother Hammonds, if you could think of one or whatever. Oh, yes, thank you. Right as we were finishing up there, Brother Alex Cordova had some pains in his chest and down his arm a little bit. We don't know. And I told him, and I said, don't drive back to Houston. And so I said, sit down for a while. We had him sit down, but he may have a problem with his heart. So he's going to stay at that Brother David, whose wife, by the way, that Brother David, he's offered for my wife and I to come anytime and stay with them. And they'll provide a place for us to stay. And so he said he's going to go over to Brother David's, that's the brother on the American side, and pray for him that the Lord take care, and he'll get some good medical treatment and find out if he does have a problem or not. And just pray for him.